So, the rabbit and the music. How many of you just got that, got your attention when you read what the message was, the title? Good. So what does the rabbit and the music have to do with our scripture? Well, let me start out by telling you a little story. There was a young man that newly accepted Christ, and he was really desirous to give, to be all that God had wanted him to be. But he noticed in his church that some of the Christians that were in this church, after a short while of receiving Christ, just kind of lost their fervor for serving Jesus. And he wondered why that was. And he knew that there was one old man that didn't appear to be that way. So he wanted to go talk to this old guy. So he did. He found out where the old man lived, and he went up there and found him sitting on the porch with his dog. And he asked the old man this. The old Christian was sitting on the porch with his dog stretched out before him, taking in a beautiful sunset. The young man posed this question. Why is it, brother, that most Christians zealously chase after God during the first year or two after their conversion, but then fall into a complacent ritual of church twice a week and end up not looking any different than their neighbors who aren't even Christians? I have heard that you are not like that. I've been told that you are fervently sought after God throughout your years as a Christian. People see something in you that they don't see in most. What makes you different? The old man smiled and replied, "Well, let me tell you a story. One day I was sitting here quietly in the sun with my dog. Suddenly a large white rabbit ran across in front of us. Well, my dog jumped up and took off after that big old rabbit. He chased that rabbit over the hills with a passion. Soon other dogs joined him, attracted by his barking. What a sight it was, the old man said, as the pack of dogs ran barking across the creeks, up stony embankments and through thickets and thorns. Gradually, however, one by one, the other dogs dropped out of the pursuit, discouraged by the course and frustrated by the chase. Only my dog continued to hotly pursue that old white rabbit. And that story, young man, is the answer to your question. The young man sat in confused silence. Finally, he said, "Brother, I don't understand. What's the connection between the rabbit chase and the quest for God?" "You fail to understand," answered the well-seasoned old man, "because you failed to ask the obvious question. Why didn't the other dogs continue the chase?" And the answer to that question is that he had not seen the rabbit. The other dogs had never seen the rabbit. They lost their passion. Without seeing the rabbit, the chase is just too difficult. There was no more determination. So I ask you this morning, have you seen the Lord? Are you willing to pay the cost? Are you willing to pay the cost to follow the Lord? Can you keep your eye on the prize? In our scripture this morning, Jesus talks about the cost to be a disciple. And he says it's not easy. Look at the 12 disciples. Almost all of them came from a wealthy family. Every one of them gave up everything they had to follow Christ. And in almost all of them, it resulted in them dying a horrible, terrible death. Some of them were crucified on a cross, hung upside down. All of them were martyred. Well, Jesus talks about hating family. Well, this is a very harsh statement. Does he really mean it? What happened to love? I'm going to read you what the Believer's Commentary says just exactly about that. He did not ever suggest that men should have bitter hatred in their hearts toward father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters. Rather, he was emphasizing that love for Christ must be so great that all other loves are hatred by comparison to what Jesus was saying. He didn't mean the word hate literally. He used it to emphasize, number one, is how difficult it is to follow Christ and the cost of following Christ. Again, I remind you, all the disciples, what they left behind. They didn't hate their families, but there's nowhere in the scripture does it tell us how much time they spent with their families after they started following Jesus. I don't know what that answer is, but I do know it was minimal. Or Jesus wouldn't have used it as an example. Jesus is just trying to drive home that everything else comes second in life. This is a really radical statement, this word hate. When we allow the impact of this statement into our hearts, it's a radical lifestyle. Look at what the disciples lived through. They were poor. They lived from day to day. They lived from one meal to another, not knowing where the next one was coming from. All just to follow Christ. This will lead to a life that is different from the rest of society. If you don't know the cost, you're likely to abandon Christ. Just as the people did in the church of this young man. When they accepted Christ, it's my bet that they did not know the cost of following Christ. The effort it took to chase the rabbit. The last part of our text asks if we are willing to pay the price to follow Jesus. Can you turn the love you have for Jesus into action? You see, loving Jesus is just not enough. We need to turn our love for Jesus into action that will separate us from a life that society calls normal. Did you catch that? A life that society calls normal. That's kind of to say that following Christ is not normal. I don't know if I'd want to use the word normal. But radical, I don't know if I'd want to use that either. But the point here is we need to be prepared of the cost to live a life other than what our peers and the people around us call as normal, other than what people around us call radical. We need to turn our love for Jesus into action that will work to make disciples of men. Isn't that our motto? Sure. We need to keep the front of the pack, keep up to the front of the pack, so we can keep the passion. Remember in our story, the dogs that were in the back of the pack gave up because they lost their passion? It's the same with us. It isn't just loving Christ or just following in His footsteps. It is being up front with our words, with our actions, with our lifestyle, so we can keep the passion of following Christ. Can you keep your eye on the rabbit? Only then will you feel God's grace. In Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book called The Cost of Discipleship, he says, we have cheapened grace, and cheap grace is the deadly enemy of the church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Jew, lived in World War II. His writings are world famous. And in this particular book called The Cost of Discipleship, it was a book based on the Sermon on the Mount. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, by the way, died in a concentration camp in 1945. He almost made it. And there he says, cheap grace is preaching for forgiveness without repentance. Cheap grace is a baptism without church discipline. Cheap grace is communion without confession. Cheap grace is a grace without discipleship. It is a grace without the cross. It is a grace without a living Jesus. So the opposite of cheap is costly. Costly grace is, it condemns sin. Costly grace is the living Word of God. Costly grace causes us to follow Jesus. It calls us to submit to the yoke of Christ. Jesus said, I remind you, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You see, we have made the gift of grace cheap. Let me say that again. We have made the gift of grace cheap. We have watered it down. It has lost its meaning of greatness for many people that call themselves Christians. The church today is just not preaching it. Here's an example. We talked about this a little bit at Thursday at our Bible study. There are books out there, and there are conversations out there today that says everyone goes to heaven regardless of beliefs and actions. That's not what Jesus said. The Bible tells us different. There is a price to pay. We must be willing to put Jesus and His will above all else. Martin Luther said this in one of his sermons. A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, suffers nothing, is worth nothing. Wow. Is that powerful or not? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, by the way, quoted Luther many, many times in his writings. Luther was a major character in directing Bonhoeffer to Christ. And he used his teachings and his sermons many times. Let me say this again. A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, suffers nothing, and is worth nothing. But we don't preach it loud and clear. We don't tell people about the cost. The church today is so focused on filling the pews by giving feel-good sermons. They're hesitant to tell people today what the real cost of following Christ is. In our story about the rabbit, that's exactly what this young man seen. Some feel that they can just give money, they can just go to church, they can just take communion once a year, and that's all there is to it. Some feel they don't need to be associated with a worshiping community. There are those. As long as I do my devotions at home, as long as I read the Bible, as long as I pray before I have my meals, I don't need to go to church. Christ intended for us to be a family of followers. A family is what Christ calls us. You cannot be that family if you don't worship with others. You cannot just isolate yourself and grow in your faith. You just kind of stay where you're at. It is the cost of following Jesus. Don't need to change your lifestyle. They can gossip. They can cheat others. They can hold grudges. They feel because they feel God's grace is cheap and freely given. That is just not the case. Cheap grace does more harm than it does good. Max Lucado wrote in one of his books this story about learning how to dance. And let me read to you that story. Let's imagine that you want to learn to dance. Being the rational, cerebral person you are, you go to the bookstore and you buy a book on dancing. You take the book home and you get to work. Finally, you think you've got it. You invite your wife to come in and watch. You hold the book open and follow the instructions step by step. You even read the words aloud so she'll know that you've done your homework. Lean with the right shoulder. And so you lean. Now step your right foot. So you step. Turn slowly to the left. So you do. You continue to read, then dance. Read, then dance. Until the dance is completed. You plop, exhausted on the couch. You look at your wife and you proclaim, "I executed it perfectly." "You executed all right," she says. "You killed it." "What? You forgot the most important part. Where is the music?" "Music? You never thought about music. You remembered the book. You learned the rules. You laid out the pattern, but you forgot the music." "Do it again," she says. "Put it in a CD. This time, don't worry about the steps. Just follow the music." She extends her hand and the music begins. The next thing you know, they are dancing and you don't even have a book. We are prone to follow the book and we're prone to forget the music. We master the doctrine. We memorize the scripture, but we dance down the floor of life without the music in our hearts. Dancing without music is really, really tough. This is coming from a guy that can't dance one step. In February of 2011, I was honored to preach here. And I close that message with this. Mercy keeps us from getting what we deserve. And grace gives us what we do not deserve. This morning I'm saying that grace is costly. So let God have you. Let God love you. Don't be surprised when you hear the music and your feet start to dance. Keep your eye on the rabbit and listen for the music. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.